أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him and we seek help from Him. We ask forgiveness from Him. We repent to Him and we seek refuge in Him from our own evils and our own bad deeds. Anyone who is guided by Allah is truly guided, and anyone who has been left astray will find no one to guide him. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, the only one without any partner. And I bear witness that Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his servant and his messenger. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida yuslih lakum a'malakum wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum wa may yuti Allah wa rasula faqad faza fawzan adhima. O you who believe, be aware of Allah and speak a straightforward word. He will forgive your sins and repair your deeds. And whoever takes Allah and His Prophet as a guide has already achieved a mighty victory. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqati wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. O you who believe, be aware of Allah with correct awareness and awe-inspired awareness and die not except as Muslims. In the first verse of Surah An-Nisa, Allah says, O mankind, show reverence towards your guardian Lord, who created you from a single person, created of like nature his mate, and from the two of them scattered like seeds, countless men and women. Be conscious of Allah, through whom you demand your mutual rights, and show reverence towards the wombs that bore you. Show reverence towards the wombs that bore you, for surely Allah ever watches over you. My dear sisters and brothers, in last Friday's khutbah, Dr. Rushdie told us about the hadith of Gabriel. In that hadith, the archangel Jibril, alayhi salam, asked Prophet Muhammad three questions. What is Islam? What is Iman? And what is Ihsan? From the reply we learn that Ihsan, excellence, is the highest level of worship. That's when you worship Allah as if you can actually see Him there in front of you. And you know with absolute certainty that even though you cannot see Allah, then surely He sees you. That is Ihsan. That is the highest level that any Muslim can aspire to. Today I want to share with you one of the keys that will give us access to that higher level of faith. The key to Ihsan, the key to open that door of excellence, is to trust Allah. Now, what do we mean by trusting Allah? It's quite easy to say, I'm a Muslim, I recite my Kalima Shahada, I trust Allah. But it's much harder than that. It's not just a theory. Trusting Allah completely takes practice and serious determination. Trusting Allah is not just a slogan. Trusting Allah means that you set aside your personal likes, your personal dislikes, your ego, your lower nafs, all your fancy plans that you've made. We know we all plan, but we know Allah is the best of planners. And sometimes we forget to ask Allah first, is this thing good for me, what I'm planning here? Always take Allah into consideration. Allah's got His cosmic plan laid out there. And we ask Him to fit our plan into His plan, so that, you know, Allah Ta'ala must change the whole scheme of things, the whole cosmic scheme of things, to suit our ambitions and our plans. But really the key is for us to always look, what is my place, what is my role in Allah's grand scheme of things? And how will my plan fit into the wider scheme of things? So our starting point must be with Allah's plan and not with our own plans. Trusting Allah means that you have a firm belief that Allah knows best and that you will deliver, that He will deliver a good result, whatever your own prejudices and fears and phobias might be. Now, most of us are not Arabic speakers. You know that only about 18% of the world population are actually Arabic speaking. So that gives you, if you do the arithmetic, something like what? Say 82%? What is it? The rest of us, my arithmetic is not so very good. But the majority of Muslims are non-Arabic speakers. So when we hear these Arabic terms, we really need to go to a dictionary or to a scholar to explain what does it mean. Some people translate iman as being faith. But iman is actually a little bit more than that. And iman has a very important element of trust in it as well. It's not just having faith. Not just having blind faith that Allah is the creator of the universe and you believe and you have faith in Allah. But it's also that you trust Allah. You trust Him with your affairs. And in the Holy Quran we read, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا. Enough is Allah for a witness. And وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. And enough is Allah as a guardian and a protector. The Quran always urges us as believers to put our trust in Allah. But we human beings are forgetful. One of the meanings of insan, you know, the word insan in Arabic means mankind or humankind. But one of its meanings is to be forgetful. Because human beings are not by nature sinful. You know, in the Christian faith, there is a belief that there is a belief in original sin, that Jesus died to absolve us from our sins, from the original sin. But in Islam, we know we have a different belief. Human beings are not by nature sinful. Human beings are by nature forgetful. And we have to constantly fight against this forgetfulness. And the way we fight against our forgetfulness, because Nabi Adam was forgetful, he forgot Allah's command. And to fight against forgetfulness, we have to practice dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah. That is the cure for forgetfulness. So it's part of our human nature to be forgetful. This is how Allah created us. And the Holy Quran recommends dhikr as a means of combating our forgetfulness. Allatheena amanu wa tatma'innu qulubuhum bi dhikrillah. Ala bi dhikrillah tatma'innu qulub. Those whose hearts find peace in the remembrance of Allah. Surely in Allah's remembrance do hearts find peace. Now, we're talking about trust and trusting Allah. So let's take an example, an everyday example. Most of us have had this experience sometime or another. You run into some financial difficulty. What's the first thing that we do? Well, most of us run off to go and speak to our bank manager, or we go to a wealthy friend or a relative to see if they can help us out of our difficulty. Quite often, the last thing that we do is to raise our hands and ask Allah for help. When everything else fails, when the bank manager shakes his head, or your family or your relatives make their excuses, now we turn to Allah. Now we ask Allah for help. But really, shouldn't it be the other way around? Shouldn't we first go to Allah, first seek His help, first show Him that we trust Him, that He's put us in the situation and it's a test for us, but we turn to Him first before we turn to anybody else. But we are forgetful, as I said, and yet Allah loves us despite our forgetfulness, and He still helps us. We can learn a lot from reading about the early days of Islam. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his illustrious companions, the Sahaba, They had to endure great hardship. And I'm sure you've all read the stories of Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, and various other Sahaba. A lot of hardship. Allah put them through a lot of trials and tests. And this was for them to show patience and perseverance. And making Allah their wakil, trusting Allah. This was done so that we could learn today. Centuries later, we look to their lives, we look to their example about learning trust in Allah. Remember, my dear brothers and sisters, it's in a crisis that you get to know people. A crisis brings out what you are truly made of. It's very easy to have your fair weather friends when everything's going fine. But when the going gets tough and things really get difficult, that's when you show, we see what people are made of. When we're faced with a personal calamity, do we panic? Do we resort to desperate measures? Do we throw aside our moral and ethical values? Or do we calmly accept that Allah is testing us? Do we show our complete faith and trust in Allah? Do we do the right thing, even though it may be painful for us or difficult for us, but we know that's the right thing to do? And this is the acid test. A true believer always does the right thing at the right time in the right way, even if it seems to be against his or her own interests. As you know, in the Quran, in Surah An-Nisa, Allah commands us to be just and to be fair. O you who believe, stand firmly for justice as witnesses to Allah, even as against yourselves or your parents or your relatives, or whether it be against rich or poor. Allah can best protect both. Follow not the lusts of your hearts, lest you swerve from justice. And if you distort justice or decline to do justice, truly Allah is well acquainted with all that you do. My dear brothers and sisters, when we tell lies, when we cheat, when we take advantage of other people, when we exploit someone's weaknesses or misfortune, then we betray a lack of trust in Allah. Remember, just 2 weeks before Ramadan, we have the night known as Laylatul Barat or Laylatul Nisf Shaban, the middle of the month of Shaban. And we know what happens on that night. Allah decrees the provision, the rizq for every human being, for everyone, for the next year. That decree is immutable. It cannot be changed. You will get what you're going to get, and I'm going to get what I'm going to get. We cannot change that. But what we can change is how we get that rizq. If we cheat, if we lie, if we try and catch someone out, we are still going to get the same rizq. We are not going to get richer or poorer by anything we do. Allah has decreed it for us. But the difference is, we're either going to get it with Allah's good pleasure or with His anger. So we only fool ourselves if we tell lies. We only fool ourselves if we cheat other people, because we're not increasing our rizq at all. That decree is fixed. Allah has fixed it for us. But what will you rather have? Will you rather have Allah's good pleasure and His blessings or His anger? And that choice is ours, my dear brothers and sisters. So don't forget that. It's a very important lesson. Very important. Trust Allah, even if things look difficult. Even if doing the right thing means you're going to suffer a bit of pain or a bit of a disadvantage. But do the right thing at all times. Not just when it's convenient for you. Not just when it suits you. That's very important. My dear brothers and sisters, there's a beautiful and inspiring verse in Surah Talaq, verse number 2 and 3, which declares that وَمَنْ يَتَقِ اللَّهِ وَالْمَنْ يَتَقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ اللَّهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَزْبُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ أَمْرِ قَدْ جَاءَ Allahu likulli shay'in qadra. Very beautiful verse. And whoever is cautiously aware of his duty to Allah, Allah always prepares a way out for him from his difficulty. And he provides for him from sources that he could never imagine. And if anyone puts his trust in Allah, then sufficient is Allah for him. For Allah will surely accomplish his purpose. For truly, for all things, Allah has appointed a due proportion. Now it's interesting that this verse is placed right in the beginning of Surah Talaq. What is Talaq? Talaq is divorce. It's when a happy marriage has come to its end. And you know, there's a lot of blame, there's a lot of hard feelings, and there's a lot of recriminations and accusations. It's a difficult time to be just and to be fair with one another. And Allah puts that right in that verse. That beautiful verse is placed right there. Because when that marriage breaks up, and you know, talaq, divorce, is something that is legal. It's permissible in Islam, if all else fails. But it's the one thing that Allah says, it's the one thing that He hates most. You know, the heavens and the earth shake when a marriage breaks up. Because there are consequences for the children and for everybody. Not just for the husband and wife. But Allah puts this beautiful verse there that we have to very strategically place. It's a time when everyone wants to feel defensive and I'm right and she's wrong and she feels I'm right and he's wrong. But that's very important that we remember at all times, even the most difficult times, to be just, to be fair, and to put our trust in Allah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala khairul mursaleen, Muhammadin Nabiyul Ummi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi, ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fil alameen, innaka hamidun majid. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-'aliyyil 'azhim. Glory to Allah, praise to Allah, there is no power and no strength except from Allah. My dear sisters and brothers, imagine this scenario. You've been working happily at your job for many years. It's been the job of your dreams. And then one fateful day, a letter or an email or a memo lands on your desk and you're told that your services are no longer needed. You've been made redundant. You've just lost your job. What's the first thing you'll do? Most of us would immediately go online and search for another job. We'd update our CV and we'd send it along with our applications and application forms. That's the most logical thing to do, isn't it? But one scholar gives us this advice. As soon as you find yourself in a difficult situation, you take a deep breath, turn to Allah and say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. You all know the meaning of that. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. You normally say that when you hear about someone's death. You're lost, right? Well, this is a loss. It's a kind of death. You've lost your job. You don't know who's going to pay the mortgage, who's going to pay this, who's going to pay that. Your bills are piling up. But the first thing you do, you say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajun. From Allah we come, and to Him is our return. So put your trust in Allah. Check what you've got in your bank account. You may have, if you have £100 in your bank account, you saved it for a rainy day. Take £5 or £10 and send it off to Islamic Relief. Make a sadaqah, make a generous donation somewhere. Give more if you like. Show Allah that you trust Him. This is a time of difficulty for you. Maybe you need that money for something. But no, you trust Allah. Show Allah, I trust you. You're going to take good care of me. Somebody else needs this money more than I do. Try that, my dear brothers and sisters. I've tried it. I've been in that situation in my life. I've had very difficult situations. I've tried that and it works. Believe me, Allah will send you a better job than the one you've just left. Because we think we know what's best for us. But Allah knows. He is the best planner. I was also made redundant. Many years ago, I lost my job. I had very great difficulties. We don't have time to go and tell you my whole life story. But I've also learned, reading all this and learning from the scholars, Learn to trust Allah in your difficult times and put your faith in Allah, put your trust in Him, and do the most unexpected thing. Don't be protective and think that you're going to need that money, but make a sadaqah because somebody else needs it more than you do. And that puts your whole situation into perspective. Okay, you've lost your job. Some people have lost their homes. They've lost their countries. They're fleeing in their thousands into Europe at the moment, and Europe is closing its doors. You know? So our situations, we must never get things out of perspective. Please can we move forward and make some space for the brothers. So my dear brothers and sisters, when we start putting our own problems into perspective, and we put our faith and our trust in Allah, then wonderful things happen. And as that beautiful ayah tells us in Surah Talaq, Allah will send you a solution, an answer from where you could never have expected. When you've done that, you can now go and look for that new job or deal with whatever situation you have to deal with. My dear sisters and brothers, try to memorize and internalize this beautiful hadith which I learned many years ago, and I've never forgotten it. And I once told it to my aunt who was visiting me from Canada. She's now in her 90s, and every time I ring her in Vancouver, she picks up the phone and repeats the same hadith to me. She always says to me, Arshad, what hit you could never have missed you. And this is the key part of the hadith. The hadith goes, it's related by Ibn Abbas, keep Allah in mind, remember Allah, and you will find Him in front of you. Remember Allah in times of ease, and He will recognize you in times of distress. What hit you could never have missed you. What missed you could never have hit you. Know that victory comes with patience, relief follows distress, and ease comes with hardship. And with those inspiring words of wisdom from our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my dear brothers and sisters, we conclude our khutbah. Inna Allah ya'muru bil adl wal ihsan wa ita'i zil quba wa yanha 'anil fakhsha'i wal munkari wal baghi ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun. Fadhkuruni adhkurkum washkuruli wa la takfurun. Wa la dhikrullahi akbar wallahu ya'lamu ma tasna'un. Surely Allah commands justice, good deeds, and generosity to others and to relatives. And He forbids all shameful deeds and injustice and rebellion. And He instructs you so that you may be reminded. And remember me, I will remember you. Be grateful to me and do not reject faith. And without doubt, remembrance of Allah is the greatest thing in life, and Allah knows the deeds that you do. Ameen. Aqim as-salat.